love, courage, truth. Glenn Beck.
Oh, it's finally here. Gender inclusiveness. It is finally here. Thank goodness. It has finally come to the Boy Scouts. First, you know, they lifted their ban on gay and trans leaders, and now the Boy Scouts are accepting Girl Scouts. And what could be more progressive? What could be better? The reaction from the left and from the Girl Scouts themselves is unabashedly and surprisingly negative, however. Girl Scouts USA just released a statement saying the need for female leadership has never been clearer and more urgent than it is today. And only Girl Scouts has the expertise to give girls and young women the tools they need for success, end quote. I would agree with that. Wait a minute. Hold on just a second. That's the bigoted Glenn Beck saying that. How could I possibly agree with that? Are the Girl Scouts, an increasingly left-leaning organization, actually advocating a difference between girls and boys, men and women, advocating gender exclusivity? Where is the tolerance? Oh my gosh, where is... For some reason, liberals are suddenly traditionalists when it comes to keeping the Boy Scouts and the Girl Scouts separate. It's a narrative that flies in the face of everything they've said they've stood for. There is no difference. We're all the same. What girls can do, girls can do. What boys can do, well, girls can do as well. I'm strangely finding myself in agreement with the Girl Scouts today. I'm sure the Boy Scouts would love the increased membership because Boy Scouts is dying. And so they want the opportunity to bring more people in. I mean, I would imagine in a few years, if you're a dog, you can also be a Boy Scout. I'm sure also the convenience of sending all of their children to one place for scouting. But there is something to be said for letting girls be girls and boys be boys and have different scouting experiences. Now, I know this is very controversial, or is it? There's nothing wrong with having a male-centric or female-focused organization. Nothing wrong with that. Male leadership and strong male friendship is important to the development of our young men. They need strong men and strong role models. Just as female leadership and friendship is important to our young women, they need strong women leadership. But there's one other problem with this, and I hate to even bring it up, because we don't have a problem with sexual predators in this country, right, Hollywood? We don't have a problem with any kind of sexual coercion or anything like that. What could possibly happen with our sons and our daughters out in the woods together by themselves at night? What could possibly happen? I mean, after all, you remember the sign, no girls allowed. You know, they've had them up on their tree forts forever until they reach a certain age, and then that seems to go away. But let's not pay attention to that. The only real upside that I see on this is the new girl Boy Scouts. The new girl Boy Scouts might start selling cookies to compete with Girl Scout cookies. And one thing I can get behind is double the amount of cookies.
It's Friday, October 13th. You're listening to the Glenn Beck Program.
It's Friday the 13th. A lot to go over today. A ton to go over. I just wanted to bring an update from yesterday's broadcast at this time. We were talking about freedom of speech and how we don't want government being involved in freedom of speech and freedom of thought. Al Gore recently had a altercation with a journalist. The Spectator's Ross Clark asked him about the Miami sea level rises in the new film, An Inconvenient Sequel. The reporter started to explain that he had consulted Florida International University, the sea level rise expert, and Gore's response was, "Never heard of him." Is he a denier? Then he looked at the journalist and said, are you a denier? When Clark responded that he was sure climate change is a problem, but he didn't know how big, Gore then said, you're a denier. Problem with that? Are you a Jew? Are you a Jew? Did somebody check into his family relationship? Are you have any Jewish blood in you? This is the way it happens. And I know that I have gotten in trouble for years by saying that global warming, hardcore global warming activists and people like Al Gore are using the tactics of Nazi Germany. But here it is. He's a denier. Are you a denier? To the press.
Yeah. And remember, it's not just believing that global warming is a real thing. It's believing that it's a real thing, that it's not just 50% or more caused by man, which some scientific reports claim, but it's all caused by man. And it's not just that. It's also that it is catastrophic. It's also that it's catastrophic right now. It's also that you must agree with the solutions to global warming. You must agree with large carbon taxes. You must agree with gigantic government intervention. If you don't hit every one of those things, you are a denier.
So here's Roger Pelkey. He's a political scientist who worked extensively on climate change. He believes that climate change is real. Human emissions of greenhouse gases justify action and that there should be a carbon tax. However, he's a denier because his research has shown that the increasing cost from hurricane damage is not caused by storms made more intense by climate change, but more and pricier property built in vulnerable areas. Even though his research has been proven right and the IPCC's subsequent outputs mostly accepted his arguments, he's now the target of a long, years-long campaign, including massive but baseless takedowns that later turned out to have been coordinated by climate campaigning, a think tank funded by a green billionaire, mm-hmm. along with an investigation on him that was launched by a congressman. He finally left climate change for other fields where, quote, no one is trying to get me fired. He's been sidelined. The problem here is we're not discussing anything anymore. Believe in climate change, but wonder how bad it's really going to be? You're a denier. That's Al Gore. You believe, but you argued that today's policies aren't the best? You're a denier. Ask Chile's environmental minister, because that's what he said. You believe, but you point out problematic findings or media reporting? No room for you. You're a denier. The expanding definition of denier and denial is an attempt to ensure that public and policy makers hear from a smaller and smaller group, really what we used to call in high school a clique. Even if an opinion is wrong, we debate. In America, the debate is called the battlefield of ideas. That was the quintessential idea of America, that we would get together and we could hash out anything and we could talk about it. Once you stop talking about it, the only thing that remains is physically fighting about it. Now let's go to healthcare. Because where's the truth on healthcare? The Obama administration began the practice of dispersing cost-sharing reduction subsidies to health insurance companies under the Affordable Care Act. This is called the CSR. CSR, cost-sharing reduction subsidies. And how much are we doing now? Is it, what is it, $10 billion? $7 billion last year. An expected $10 billion this year, and the payments are expected to total $130 billion by 2026. And what is this? This is the government bailing out the healthcare companies. So the big insurance companies, they don't want this to go away because they love this. They're getting $10 billion this year. Doesn't that fall into every socialist, not an actual socialist, somebody who claims they're for socialism? Isn't this what they claim is so bad? The government bailing out these giant corporations, especially healthcare companies? That's one of their biggest mantras. Who started it? Barack Obama. Now, Donald Trump has just reversed this last night. This is a good thing and a bad thing. It's going to cause a lot of pain. However, take it out of the realm of healthcare. Forget about healthcare for just a second and let's have an actual conversation. Here's why this has to go away. It's unconstitutional, and here's why. The funding and this CSR, the subsidies, were put into the healthcare bill. However, Congress has the purse strings, and this is a really important separation of power, because if Congress doesn't hold the purse strings, then they have absolutely no power to stop war or anything else. Is if the president can say, I'm writing the check. If he can say that, Congress has zero power. So Congress enacted this. Let's say Congress decided, yes, we're going to go to war. We're going to actually declare war. They can declare war, but they have to fund it as well. So the safeguard is put in there in case a president decides to go to war and then it turns into something that the people are like, wait, this isn't what we agreed to. This isn't what we want. And the people can rise up and stop the president by saying to Congress, defund the war. And the government cannot continue to fight the war, even though there's been an act of war. If there's no money, they can't fight it. So the separation of powers on the purse string is really important. Here's what happened. The subsidies are just wrong in the first place, but Congress decided to put it into the package. But then what happened? They couldn't fund them. They couldn't get Congress together to say, we're going to fund it. So Barack Obama said, that's all right. I'm just going to write the check. And he signed an executive order and said, we're just funding these. Well, he has no constitutional right to your wallet. None. It all must come through Congress. Another reason to keep it away from the president is so that he can't just spend you into oblivion and you can't stop it. It's like taxes. Do you want one guy to say, you know what, we're going to raise taxes to 80%? No, it's got to go through Congress. So Barack Obama did something unconstitutional and illegal. In fact, a federal judge, this has all been hashed out in the courts. A federal judge said that the United States government has to stop paying these. And in fact, the judge went so far to say every insurance company that is accepting any of this money is accepting stolen goods. So a federal judge has declared that President Obama was actually stealing money unconstitutionally from the Treasury, from you, and spending it in a way that is wholly illegal. So forget about healthcare. This must stop. Now, there's a problem with the way it's being done. And it's actually going to affect you. And we'll talk about that coming up.
Glenn Beck.
So what does what Donald Trump did yesterday, taking apart Obamacare and then defunding this CSR, what does this actually mean to you?
a lot of people are saying, you're going to see here in the media, that this is going to make your rates go up.
Probably will.
In a way, right? It's to you, as someone who's paying for healthcare, if you receive these subsidies, they're going to go away and your rates are going to feel like they're going up. However, in reality, the rates aren't going to change at all. Previously, the government was stealing money to hide what the rates were.
So, you know, literally stealing it. That's according to a federal judge, literally stealing from the Treasury. In fact, some have made the case that anyone who is involved in the writing of these checks and the disbursement of this federal money is actually criminally liable.
And again, it's worth pointing out, this is not just, you know, two dopey right-wing talk show hosts making this
point.
A federal judge has already ruled this unconstitutional. This
is
and look at,
and
watch
not
the
just
coverage.
Unconstitutional.
Yeah.
It's
yeah.
theft, labeled by the judge as theft.
And watch the coverage as you hear people talking about this. Sure, they'll talk about rates going up. Yes, they'll talk about how Donald Trump is doing something that is blowing up the healthcare markets. The truth is, these are illegal payments. They have been ruled illegal by a federal judge. They are unconstitutional payments. And that is the lead story here.
Yeah.
The fact that it took a while is something that you could criticize the administration for. I'm really glad they made this move, though. And again, this is a good move. This is a series of good moves by Trump on healthcare. These are positive things. They're being promoted as, oh, you didn't like executive orders before, and now you like them? That's not what he's doing here.
No, this is not an executive order.
These are unconstitutional payments.
He is stopping the payment. He is stopping something that only the executive can do. And a federal judge has ruled that the last executive, Barack Obama, violated the Constitution and was engaging in theft. Now, quite honestly, that is the first time I have ever heard in my lifetime, and I remember Nixon, in my lifetime, this is the first time high crimes mean something. We're talking about $130 billion being stolen from our Treasury, according to this federal judge. $130 billion being stolen and given to insurance companies. Quite honestly, that is a high crime. Everything else I've seen in my lifetime has been a misdemeanor.
I mean, it makes
this
Bernie
is
Madoff,
a high crime.
Bernie Madoff, I mean, can you? This
yes.
is way bigger than that.
Yes.
This is a much bigger deal.
Yes.
And, you know, you look at this, and another point to be made is that the health care bills passed by the Republican House and debated in the Senate and eventually failed, the repeal and replace bills, dealt with this issue. So Trump got a bad deal from the Obama administration, an unconstitutional payment. They tried to pass something that would have dealt with it. Not one Democrat voted for it. And now he has stopped the unconstitutional payment and he's getting blamed for it. It is completely ridiculous. Wait, watch every report. Wait how long it is until they tell you these payments are illegal. Again, this is a federal judge that says it. I've been watching this coverage. They are not even talking about the idea.
Of course not. Of course
that this
not.
Is unconstitutional.
Because we don't care and people don't care. Because progressives believe ends justify the means.
Yeah. It's mean. You know what you're doing is mean. That's,
right.
That's their constitutional analysis.
There is something called the rule of law.
Yeah.
And we must return to that or we will live in a fascistic state. We must return to the rule of law. And congratulations to Donald Trump for actually having the balls to do it. It's gonna hurt, but it's the right thing to do.
Glenn Beck. This is the Glenn Beck Program.
62 and counting. We are pleased to report this morning of the successful rescue of a woman, 22 years old, that we can't tell you her name because of the situation, but she is a 22-year-old Yazidi woman. She was a sex slave, somebody who her and her five sisters, her mother, and her four brothers were captured and sold into slavery in Iraq in 2014. She has been on our recovery list since we began to sponsor rescues of these slaves back in 2016. We have been searching for her and her family for a long time. We were able to identify her a couple of weeks ago and captured her last night. We went in and got her. And we can't thank you enough for funding this rescue. Another slave, 62 women have now been saved by these operations, if you will. And you have funded 62 of them. And we have lost operators in the past. They have been captured and killed trying to go in and save these women. One day, we will write a book about what you have done. But I will tell you, what is happening now in the Middle East, really honestly, and I say this knowing what I'm saying, what you have done is beginning to make Schindler's List look small. So many people have been moved to safety and moved out from the death zone and been able to get them out. And now 62 women, as of last night, have been actually pulled out of the slave chains that is just beyond your imagination. I told you a few weeks ago that we were going to announce a new phase with the Nazarene Fund, and I hope to do this. We have waited because of the Kurdistan problem. Kurdistan has asked for their own independence. They voted for independence. It appears as though they are going in to take Kirkuk today, the Iraqis and everybody else that wants the Kurds dead. It looks like they're going in and trying to take them. We are going to abandon the Kurds yet again. And I'm telling you now, we will pay a dear price for this. They are the people in the Middle East that are the most like us with our values. They protect Muslims, they protect Christians, Yazidis, atheists. They protect everybody, and they live in harmony. And all they want is their state returned to them. But because we cut it up, I shouldn't say we, because France and Great Britain cut it up in 1918, we're all living with these fake borders, and some people lost their country because of it. The Kurds want their space. They want to be independent, and they want to be able to stop people from gassing them. Is that too much to ask? We haven't been able to announce this next very aggressive phase of the Nazarene Fund, but I hope to do it in the next few weeks. It would be nice to be able to do it before Halloween, but my prayer is that we'll be able to do it at all if things go down in the Middle East and the Kurds are under attack. I'm not sure how many Christian and Yazidi slaves will actually be freed, because the Kurds have been a very, very big help. And if they're under attack, there's really nobody in the Middle East to work with. Please keep them in your prayers. There is a story that's out of Michigan that is horrendous. As we are talking about the rights of women and people should listen to women who claim they have been raped, here's a guy who has raped a woman 27 years ago. I'm sorry. No, sorry. 8 years ago, he was convicted as a sex offender and raped a mother. I should say that it wasn't 8 years ago, it was nine, because the result of that rape with this very brave woman is a son, and he's 8 years old. And now the convicted rapist has sued for joint custody and has won. Finally, the victim has spoken out. You want to hear the voice of a woman who needs our support, our prayers. And this is not the only woman this is happening to in America. You want to see how women are being abused, not just by a man, but by the court system. Listen to cut number one.
I was kidnapped for 2 days. I didn't know if I was ever going to go home. He threatened to kill me and my best friend if we told anyone.
What kind of things come up when you hear his name and see his face?
Horrible things, horrible images, flashbacks.
So how did this happen? This happened because the state wanted to stop paying her. The city of Detroit in Michigan is having a problem. And so she was on food stamps. She is a struggling mother just to make ends meet. A struggling mother. So she went to the state, and the state decided, well, let's look for dad. Well, they found him. He wasn't hard to find. They found him. And said, you need to pay your child support. Well, so then he went to court and said, I'm going to be the dad. I'm going to pay. I want joint custody. And he was given joint custody. Cut two, please.
I was receiving government assistance, and they told me if I did not tell them who the father was of my child, that they would take that away from me.
What did you think about their request?
That it was crazy.
Why?
Because I have been taking care of him for 8 years. I gave up high school. I gave up prom. I gave up my friends to raise a baby and go to work.
How is this not a big story in America? How are we not rallying around her? How do people like Lisa Bloom? Where are their priorities? I've got to spend my time defending X, Y, and Z. You're only doing that for the camera. Here's a woman who is really in dire need. No, she's not famous. No, you won't get famous, nor will you get rich. This isn't in the news. People aren't paying attention. And honestly, I don't know why. I think this is a compelling story. It's easy to tell. It's happening around the country. It's not just this woman. This is a story we'll continue to tell. This is a story we will follow, because this is a story that hurts all of us if we claim to be human.
Glenn Beck.
So it's Friday the 13th. I'm a little nervous. You never know what might happen. It's supposed to be the unluckiest day of the year. Yeah, whatever. However, I mean, I actually, there's a sick side of me that would like to actually fly over to Copenhagen just to fly this flight today. Nordic airline Finnair has scheduled a flight today on the 13th hour. So it's already flown the 13th hour of the day. That would be 1 p.m. on Friday the 13th. This is just, by the way, this is a regular flight. It just all happened to line up this way. Friday the 13th on the 13th hour to Helsinki, airport code name Hell, and it's flight 666. So you want to fly to Hell today on Friday the 13th, you can do it on flight 666. They have flown flight 666 to Hell 13 times. Or 21 times in the last 11 years, but this is the first that it's Friday the 13th, the 13th hour, and it's 666 to Hell.
Are you superstitious enough to not get on that flight?
No, I would actually fly or to be on that flight.
You really would?
Oh, I think that's funny.
Yeah, it's definitely a good story.
Oh, it's a great story. Yeah, I flew to Hell on Friday the 13th on flight 666. Yeah.
I mean, these things always start as good stories, though. You know?
I know.
Think about
you're kind of like the college students in any slasher film that you're like, oh, come on, nobody would ever. Don't get on the flight. It's 666. It's going to Hell. What is wrong with you? Nobody would do that.
This is way worse than the Titanic saying that they're going to be unsinkable. Like this is they're calling on every single you want to sink this you want this thing to crash into the water. Go ahead, try to make it. It's going to fly no matter what.
And our pilot's going to be drunk and an atheist. and we're going to bleed a goat to death halfway through. The stewardess is going to slit his throat. I mean, you know, there might be some things that would stop me from getting on the flight. The bleeding goat might be, and the drunk atheist pilot might also be.
It's all fun and games too until the turbulence starts. You would think to yourself, "Oh my, what an idiot I was!"
Yeah, as you were hurling to the sea, mm-hmm. you'd be like, "This was the dumbest thing ever."
Yeah, I mean, a lot of this happened to the poor teenagers who went to Camp Crystal Lake. I mean, there's been rumors about this guy who's there, and hey, maybe this guy's going to come out and do something, but it's going to be funny, right?
Right.
We're going to go there, and we're going to have some sex, we're going to do some drinking,
right.
And everything's going to be fine, we're going to have a great story to tell everyone.
Right.
And then what happens? You have a 14-inch machete in the back of your head.
Don't do it.
It's no longer funny at that point.
Don't do it.
It's not.
Don't do it.
You know, you think it's funny until you feel the machete poke through your eye from the back.
Right.
And at that point, you realize it's not as humorous as you had once believed.
So I went to the movies last night. It was date night with my wife last night, and we went to see American Maid. Have you seen that?
Yeah, yeah, I did see that.
Really loved it.
Tom Cruise?
I loved it.
Incredible story, too.
Yeah. How true is it? I know it's based on a true story, but is this one like, and the authors have read true stories before?
Yes, because there is a hierarchy of these things.
Yeah.
There is the true story.
Yes.
Then there is based on a true story.
Correct.
Then there is inspired by
a true story.
A true story. Like
we've seen true stories.
Yeah, because this one I think is based on a true story. So there is definitely some timeline stuff. There's things that didn't happen at the exact moment. There are some added events and inserted people here and there.
Yeah.
But generally speaking, he did a lot of this stuff. It's a guy. If you don't know the story, it's about a guy who during the 80s went down, initially he was a pilot and took a job with the CIA to fly in and out and take reconnaissance photos.
He actually started under Carter, so he started in mm-hmm. the 60s, or in the 70s.
Yeah, yeah. And then as time developed, he also wound up becoming friends with some drug dealers down there. So he was simultaneously working for the CIA
And drug dealers.
So he would fly down to take reconnaissance photos and then bring drugs back on his way back in.
So, you know, the nice thing about this is it's a great lesson for the kids because it ends the way you expect it to end.
When you do those things, it
when
ends
you're
the
working
way, yeah.
for the CIA and undercover and drug dealers. It's probably going to have the ending that you expect.
Yes. It's similar to something that happened at Camp Crystal Lake.
Like, don't get on the plane. Don't get on the plane.
Yeah, it really is. It's that shady. But, yeah. I mean, it's an amazing story. It's
great.
It's,
and Tom Cruise is great. It's called American Made. You can see it in theaters this weekend. Bill O'Reilly is next.
Glenn Beck. Glenn Beck.